Sherlock Holmes, The Ultimate Satyr Collection, by Penny Mae Carterwick. Produced and directed by Roger Rittner. Narrated by Ian Whitcomb, with J.W. Terry and Barbara Goodson. The Mystery of the Poisoned Tomb. The Mystery of the Faceless Bride. The Case of the Cracked Mirror. A Strange Affair with the Woman on the Tracks. The Curse of a Native. The Case of the Missing Mayan Codices. Murders on the Voyage to India. The Heist. The Game of Cat and Mouse. Death in the Tropics of an English Explorer. Sherlock Holmes, The Ultimate Satyr Collection.
The scream echoed down the hallway, shaking me from my slumber. Someone was banging on the door, and Watson scrambled to open it. Evelyn Reed burst into the door.
There's been a murder!
She repeated. Keep calm, my dear, and show me where it's happened. The scene was grisly. The man lay face down in the hallway, with a large wound at the back of his head and the thick, dark blood spreading around him. I turned the man over and looked into the cold, empty gaze of Mr. Skiffins. We were interrupted by the deafening scream of Mrs. Skiffins as she came into the hall to mark the identity of her husband. She crashed to the floor, sobbing and pulling her hair. With my pistol in hand, I quietly made my way to the steps leading further into the chapel. I realized that these steps most likely led to the vaults where the faceless bride would be. It was then that I heard the bride's nails upon the stone wall, scratching, drawing closer and closer. When I turned, would it be a ghost or a person I would face? The bride's dress was torn and burnt. Her bare legs, starved needle points, staggered disjointedly. The veil hung low over her face. Her hands, the fingernails long and cracked, lifted up the veil. Her face, even in the darkness, I could see its ruin. The eyes had been snatched from its sockets, the nose sunken in. All that was left was the mouth. Thin, melted lips parted to reveal brown, chipped teeth. A wheezing, gasping groan issued. And once more she raised her hands, intent on strangling me.
Help me.
We disembarked from the train and made our way across the tracks. Briefly, I looked over my shoulder back at the halted train. It, too, was plunged into darkness. For a moment, a very unnerving moment, I half expected the lights to come back on and the train to suddenly start, crushing us all. We stumbled over the line, following the actors Auerbun had hired for this game. Someone had lit a lamp. Henry and Jane stood facing one another, arguing.
You, Henry!
She sobbed.
I know, Jane. That woman was nothing. Sarah was nothing.
Oh, Sarah? My sister?
They began to struggle. Henry's hands wrapped around her throat until she fell. I wanted to find out more about this opera ghost, and so I began to question the ballet girls and stagehands. There was one person in particular who knew a lot about the ghost. Joseph Bouquet had apparently seen him while working late one night. The man described him as being incredibly thin and wearing a dress coat, and that his head was not made of flesh, but a death's head, which stretched skin in dark pits for eyes, whose head was aflame. I was deeply worried for the missing young woman. If she had been taken by the opera ghost, be he flesh or spirit, how would she fare if she rejected his love?